Well, welcome to the Duff and Quarters podcast, brought to you by Tab Touch. Today, another one bites the dust. Alan Richardson falls on his sword at St Kilda. What's happening with Nick Nat, Gold Coast and Freo?
That was out of bounds!
I don't believe it! I see it, but I don't believe it!
Dennis, where are you? I need you right now!
What's your name?
You're quite brilliant.
Yeah, terrific.
Oh! The stadium holds its breath.
It's Duff and Quarters.
Brought to you by Tab Touch.
Well, hello, everybody. Tuesday morning, it's time for the Duff and Quarters podcast. And Quarters, another one bites the dust.
Good song, that. Not so good if you're Alan Richardson. Number three goes down.
Yep, so Queen, the great Queen song, and Richo.
This morning has fallen on his sword.
I'm writing a column for tomorrow's paper, and I'm going to say that the worst thing that can happen for a coach at a club is when the club's expectations get out of kilter with the team's capabilities. And I think that not only happened at St Kilda, I think I can pinpoint the day that it happened.
Which was?
Round 16, 2017. They beat Richmond by 61 points at Marvel Stadium. We all remember the performance. They kicked 9 goals to 1 point in the second quarter. It was a powerhouse performance. But I think before the start of the next season, their then president, Peter Summers, said, we are a top four team. And they just weren't. And I think Richo was basically, his card was marked at that point. And it's just taken 1 2/3 seasons for it all to play out. That's not to say that he deserves to retain his job. At the end of the day, when you've had the job for 6 years and you've had that long to transition a list, and you still haven't been able to do it. And what is he now? He's 6-10.
So why is he left in round 17, Duff? I've got to say, I don't like it. I think I see no reason why he just doesn't coach the season out. Now, he's thinking maybe I need to look for opportunities next year. So there's assistant coaching jobs up for grabs. That may be his thinking. I just don't like it. I think it's untidy. And I get your point and I agree with it. I think that they did have unrealistic expectations and that's cost him. But if you look at their year, and they've had their injuries. I mean, they've been really competitive. They haven't been smashed.
Yep.
And they've been in most games.
They were competitive at the weekend against Geelong.
They were.
In Geelong.
Yes. And that most games they've had a chance to win. So I think he's done a pretty good job this year with that list and where they're at. Real expectations just way too high.
Yeah, I think expectations way too high. And I also think they haven't been able to done enough to progress over the 6 years. But in fairness to him, He had to manage Revolt, Montagna, Gilbert,
hard exits.
All those guys out.
Plus some issues with their high-end draft picks. I mean, hasn't had a lot go right. Don't get me wrong, I don't think he's the man for next year. I just think he should have seen this year out.
Yeah, and you mentioned the draft pick. So in 2013, St Kilda picked Jack Billings at pick 3. Marcus Bontempelli was pick 4.
Yeah.
And Paddy Cripps was on the table. He was pick 13. Now, I think Billings has become a very good player.
Yeah, but no Bont, and he's no Cripps.
Yeah, correct. So, and then in 2014, they picked Paddy McCartan with pick 1. Paddy McCartan has played 35 games. Jordan DeGoey was a top 10 draft pick that year. He's played 85 and is in the conversation as the most explosive player in the competition. So you've got what they've missed is two guys that are in the conversation as the competition's best player, and one bloke who's in the conversation as the competition's most exciting and explosive player. And it just shows you've got to get your recruiting and your list management right. And speaking of list management, dreadful decision to go and recruit Dan Hannanbury. Mm. And if the rumour mill is right, we're hearing more Hail Mary trades and recruiting going on this year. They've rumoured to have offered $1.4 million a year to Coniglio.
Yeah.
And they're rumoured to also be into Brad Hill. So if Brad Hill decides to go back to Melbourne, and if Fremantle decides to release him because he's contracted till 2021, then basically we believe St Kilda will be a bidder. So it's kind of like, I think a club like St Kilda has to acknowledge, as painful as it is for your supporters, if you've stuffed up a rebuild,
you've got to go back and start again.
You've got to go back and do another rebuild. And you've got to pick a strong draft. So that's where your list management and your pro scouts and all those people come into it.
Mm.
So where's the gun draft? And then you've got to try and load up on that draft, and then you've got to nail your picks. So that would be my strategy if I was St Kilda, but I suspect that's not going to be their strategy.
And St Kilda's reasoning also for Richardson's departure is they've got to go to the trade table. They've got to look at trying enticing people here. They need to know where they're going forward, and that's not with Alan Richardson. So that's their reasoning as well. I think you can still do that and let the bloke coach the year out. But
well, that's the thing. Like, why not? You could even make the announcement.
And say, yeah, that's right.
So yeah. Alan Richardson will be leaving at the end of the year.
Mm.
You know, that, and the notion that it gives them certainty as far as trading goes, I mean, anyone who's being traded into St Kilda still doesn't know who the coach is going to be, which is what, you know, they don't want to know who it isn't going to be. They want to know who it is going to be. So in terms of what it gains them out of all of that, I don't see.
It's intriguing at the moment. We've got Brett Ratten taking over in a caretaker role. Brett Ratten, a person who I think was so unfairly dismissed himself from the Carlton role.
Yeah.
They were going okay, and look how they've gone since he was dismissed from that role, not too well. I think he's a very good coach. He'd be very capable. But intriguing to see what happens with all the politics at work and the success that both Reece Shaw and David Teague have had at North Melbourne and Carlton. You know, I'm not saying appoint those guys now, but they're now in the mix. They've got to be in the mix somewhere, both of those. Reece Shaw is obviously more in the mix than Teague, but I think it's fascinating how this is going to play out.
Has Teague's training wheels come off yet?
Oh, they're off, mate. Yeah. The wheels are off. He's got one of those footy cards in the spokes when you were a kid, you used to do that. So, no, he's done very – look, they've been good, Carlton. They've been really good. Sorted out their forward half, made some positional changes with players. I think, you know, there's a lot to like about where Carlton's gone from base camp. You know what I mean? They weren't even at base camp. They were miles off it. So,
yeah, so
he's done a good job. And Reece Shaw has done a very good job too, I think.
Yeah, so Reece Shaw, very unlucky to not have won. What would that have been, 5 out of 6?
Yeah. Yep.
That was a great game. That was one of the games of the season, I think.
Yep, it was. And a little bit of magic at the end there, but McDonald, Tip and Woody, he's a great player.
Isn't that a great song?
You know, and, oh, yeah, the Could Have Been song or the
no,
other
it's,
one?
No,
there's a couple of Could Have Beens ones as well.
Picket Palace, I think they're called. Oh, I think they're sort of like a grunge punk band.
Yeah, I was watching the end of that game, busy working here, but watching the end of that game, and I just knew McDonald, Tip and Woody, something's going to happen here.
Yeah.
You just knew, you could sense it. And I'm glad he delivered, you know, not at North Melbourne's expense, but it was a great finish and well done. Some game from him. A few other stories emerging over the weekend. Probably the biggest here is Nick Nat and his syndesmosis.
Yes. So done during the game on Friday night against Collingwood.
Yep.
And played on.
So this is not a surface issue, is it? This is Nick Nat having someone fall on him with great weight, and this has nothing to do with Optus Stadium surface.
I don't think so. Yeah. I think any lower leg injury now that suffered at Optus Stadium is going to raise eyebrows,
yeah.
Because the surface is hard. But
this one just looked to me like it was just bad luck.
There are going to be times where it's impact or when it's you're caught at an awkward angle, that sort of thing. I suspect that this one is more of that. Than the other. And, of course, the other one, the big injury of the weekend, Stephen Cornelio.
Yeah.
Which
has dodged one, though. I mean, it's the meniscus. It's not the ACL. He won't play again this year. I can't see him playing again this year. If they go really deep in the finals, then he's a possibility, but I would think he's queues in the rack for next year, and which will make it... I think the ACL would have been made it really interesting in terms of the suitors.
Yeah, it would have. I'll tell you what, the doctors would have been pretty nervous when they put him out there with a heavily strapped knee.
Yeah.
He did a lot of what they call proprioception in the warm-up. So they were clearly testing the knee. They're trying to make sure that it was okay, that it was going to stand up to game pressure. And then he lasts about 5 minutes, goes down in an innocuous change of direction. I would have thought the doctors would have been very,
yeah, Leon
very
Cameron
nervous.
Spoke about that last night. It was interesting to hear him speak about that and about the fact it wasn't related to the prior injury and that they did every sort of form of testing on him and that he was adamant he wanted to play. So what do? You back your player. You probably don't a lot of the time, but I would think that they would have the wherewithal there to make those calls. And sometimes you're just a bit unlucky.
Yeah, you can be unlucky. I mean, it's a tough caper, isn't it? But when I saw what he was doing before the game, and when I saw how innocuous the movement was when he went down and the strapping on his knee, and then Leon Cameron appeared unable to rule out an ACL injury after the. I was thinking, geez, those doctors will be very toey until they get.
Well,
the
you know
scans,
what? Let's tick this one off as a good one because I'm just so glad he hasn't done an ACL.
Absolutely.
Love watching Stephen Coniglio play, and wherever he ends up next year, I tell you where I'd like him to end up is the Gold Coast, but that ain't going to happen. But he should end up there. If not, I'd prefer him to stay at GWS, to be quite frank. But
I like to see players stay put. I just think, you know, clubs put a lot of time and development into every player that comes in their door, and you like to see the player reward the club with some dedication and loyalty.
So Nick Nat, excellent column by Craig O'Donoghue today. And where do they go now with Nick Nat? Obviously, the same thing happened last year. They were without him. We're not sure if he's going to play again this year. It's probably looking unlikely. But they've got pretty hard set of matches coming up in terms of the ruck opponents. You've got Gawn, possibly Goldstein, Cruiser. And Adelaide with O'Brien going okay. Nankervis if he returns, and then McAvoy. So my inclination is I would tend not to be going with the Oscar Allen combination. I would tend to be going for a two genuine ruckman combination. They've gone that way in the past, and I think at least till Vardy gets back, you might have to look at
Keegan Brooksby.
I would go down that path.
Or the workhorse. Fraser McInnes.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Well, exactly.
He bobs up every now and again.
I think they need to go down that path. I think it's such an important role, and I don't. I want to see Oscar Allen. I'd like to see him playing more as a forward. Learn that craft. Terrific player. It was good again on Friday night too.
Interesting selection issue for West Coast too, Quarters, and that is Jake Waterman's. Kicked six goals again at the weekend.
And Petrocelli.
Starring role. I mean, Jake Waterman is now at a stage where his father is a West Coast champion, so you would think he'd be loath to leave. But I wonder if it gets to a point where a kid in his situation looks at it and goes, well, Josh Kennedy has a contract for next year. Jack Darling is negotiating a contract to keep him there next year. And Oscar Allen is now clearly ahead of him on the pecking order. And you've got Jared Brander lurking there somewhere as well. I wonder how Jake Waterman is viewing his future at the moment.
Yeah,
West Coast.
Well, Josh Kennedy's an interesting one. I know he's contracted for next year, but should he play on?
I reckon
pretty banged up to me.
The ideal scenario for Josh is that they win the flag again this year and Josh says, you know what, two flags is enough for me.
I
think that might be a good way for Josh to
go. He's looking pretty
out.
Banged up for me. And, I mean, I know his form's not been great of late.
Yeah.
Which is much about, it's a lot about who you're playing on too. It's pretty hard caper up there playing as the key forward.
Yep, absolutely.
But he's getting older. He's got a lot out of that body. So, I would hate to see Waterman leave, but I think he will have to look elsewhere if the opportunities don't come.
Yep.
A key to it may be Josh Kennedy's decision at the end of this year.
Let's move along. Hawthorn versus Fremantle in Launceston.
Yep.
Ross Lyon's post-match comments about Nathan Fyfe. Diversion or real?
A bit of both. Yeah,
maybe.
I reckon a bit of both. The old Kevin Sheedy diversion never fails. But I see his concern for Fyfe, and look, like all superstars, and I put him in that bracket. I think he's a real elite, pointy end player in the competition. They're going to get targeted as long as it's done fairly. I mean, I have no issue with a player. With an existing injury being if he's out there, if it's in the course of play.
Mm.
If you've got a crooked shoulder and you're running at the footy, someone's come the other way, I know what I'm going to hit, and that's his crooked shoulder. But I don't like, certainly there's a rule in place now for players who are injured leaving the ground.
Yep.
So there is a rule in place for that now. And I don't like hits off the ball either. But certainly in the course of play, I have no issue with that. And I think most of them were in the course of play.
I think two were a fair way off the ball. So he got free kicks for both of those.
Yep.
And one was not particularly vicious. It was more just, you know, he knocked him over. The other one was a pick-off. And I think you don't like pick-offs a long way off the ball.
No, I don't. Tell you what, there's another player in the comp too who could be feeling a little sore too, is Lachie Neal. Port Adelaide, extraordinary pre-game announcement by their coach, Ken Hinckley. And we're told it was accidentally
flagged several days before.
Interesting one too, Cam Sutcliffe taking on that role. I think he might have even been in Lachie Neal's wedding party.
Yeah, I think, one, they could have chosen the terrorist a little better because Sutcliffe is a good, honest toiler, isn't he? That's what he was at Fremantle. He was a good, honest toiler at halfback. He was a good player in a team that played in a grand final and a good player in teams that played in final series. But I don't think he's your guy that's going to terrorise one of the AFL's best.
If you're going to preempt it and you're going to make a big deal of it, which Ken Hinckley clearly did, it's got to come off because it looks horrible when it doesn't. And that looked horrible.
They were 7-0 down.
7-0. I mean, you've taken your eye off the pill and you've gone down a different... And I don't understand why you've taken this course of action when you've just come off a really good showdown win.
Or if it's going to be someone...
And it's at home.
Why isn't it Sam Powell Pepper, who's a robust, bustling sort of player, who has a bit of history with Lachie Neale? They've had a bit of a tangle when Lachie Neale was playing for Fremantle and Sam was...
Or was Cam Sutcliffe more expendable?
What, did they want him to belt him?
Mm.
You know what, I reckon that ranks with the dumbest thing a coach has said this year.
I agree. And you know what I liked? I liked Mitch Robinson's comeback too. I love that when he was coming off the bench. And they were giving... I don't like whacking a bloke in the back when he can't see when he's running onto the interchange. Yeah. But that's as weak as you know what. It really is. But I love Mitch Robinson coming off the bench and, you know, just feigning I'm coming over there. He's got a lot of mongrel in him, Mitch. I like him. A lot of character. A lot to like about Brisbane at the moment.
So where have you got him now, Quarters? We've been talking about him.
I've still got him top six, mate. I'm not deviating from that. But, geez, they're making me think about it. In third position at the moment and clearly going to play finals. And you don't want to be playing them. They've got a great sense of unity. They've got great depth. They've got a good, solid back line. Mids who are in form. Options up front and playing real unity with real unity. Clearly well coached, clearly love their mentor. And Lachie Neale has been such a great acquisition and allowed other midfielders to blossom. So they're on going in the right direction. Don't worry about that. Can they win it this year? The only question mark I'd have is finals experience.
Yep.
Different ball game. You've got a couple there. You've got... Lockie's played some. Obviously, Luke Hodges played a lot of finals. But I would that would be my question mark.
Luke Hodges could just lend all teammates a final, couldn't he?
Yeah, he could, yeah. But he'll have them, you know, particularly in that back half. He'll have them well organised. They'll know what to expect. And let's not forget someone like Chris Fagan, who's got a lot of experience in finals as an assistant coach to Alistair Clarkson. So I think a lot to like about them. I'm still going to have them in the top six, though. I'm not prepared to go just yet. I've got another team in the frame that I think is coming at the rate of
knots. I know who that is. Yeah. We're from Tigerland.
Yes, I do. I really like the way they're going. They're just building momentum and a lot of it at the right time of year.
At round 23, will Brisbane be top four or will they be? Because I'm assuming when you're
saying no.
So you're saying...
I'm saying top six.
Yeah, okay.
They're a lock for top six. They'll get a home final.
Okay. Now, Richmond, did that say more about Richmond or did it say more about GWS
GWS were banged up. They lost Coniglio early. They've lost a lot of players. And with GWS... These were my fears earlier in the year with a dilution of that midfield group. I just feared you only need to lose one or two, and they have lost one or two, Kelly and Coniglio. They're going to come back to the pack a bit. So they've definitely come back to the pack. You know, they were jumped. What does it say about Richmond? They're still good enough to do it and do it convincingly. They've got a pretty tough fixturing ahead, so we'll see. But I reckon you wouldn't want to be playing Richmond right now.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I think
they'll finish top four.
And you know what? They'll get better too because coming into the finals, Revolt's going to be fresh. Cochin's going to be fresh. I go back to Fremantle in 2013 and I remember they had an absolute welter of injuries early in the season and then they all came back and when they hit September, they were all they'd all found form. They were all fresh as daisies. Mm. And we're talking... Aaron Sanderland, we're talking Matthew Pavlich. There was a whole group of them that basically came in and they hit September and they were flying and they nearly won it. So I wonder whether Richmond's going to be in that position.
Well,
the only player of
any great note who's not going to be there is Rance. And even now they're still saying he's a chance. Let's say he's not because it's probably more likely, unlikely than likely.
You can't rehab an ACL in 6 months.
Well, you can, but there's a risk with it. And the risk is, if you make the GF, do you roll the dice? And you probably do, because it's a premiership.
What, and play a guy? No, you just don't.
Well, what does that
tell the guy who would have played in his place? Alex Rance on one leg is better than you.
Yes, it does, and he is probably.
No, he's not, and it never works. You can stump up a kid or a journeyman. You know, look at Will Schofield in last year's grand final. You know, just a good, solid citizen who's been a good, solid player for West Coast over time, plays on Jordan Dugowie and does the job. Don't play injured players.
Might have been handy last Friday night, although I think, as you flagged, he did spend a bit more time in the midfield, Dugowie. Normally 20%, 40% last week. So
yeah, so let's go back to that, the actual result rather than Nick Nat's injury.
Good game of footy too.
It was a good game.
I think the concerns for the Eagles are the inside 50 count and the contested position count particularly. Minus 32, I think, on contested position.
Minus 22 in the final quarter.
Yeah, which is really... It was just tangible. You could feel it at the game. They just wanted the footy more, Collingwood, in that last quarter. Clearly wanted the footy more. That's why they won the game. Footy's, you know, a simple game in some ways, and that's what happened in that last quarter. So am I greatly... West Coast, that percentage may come back to haunt them. These games where you lose by a kick really hurt. But this was an eight-point game for them too with Collingwood. But they're still in the frame for West Coast. I haven't given up on West Coast. It's just one game. It was one close result. But they need to address that final quarter.
I thought they got tired, you know, quarters. I know I'm giving them an out here.
Yeah.
But I thought they've played two games in the wet. They played the Hawks at the MCG. It was a real slog. Went all the way to the end. They played Fremantle at Optus, which obviously didn't go all the way to the end, but it was wet and it was heavy. And
well, they've got nine days now, and now they're going up to Alice. So let's hope that's not too wet up there.
I'm doubting that's going to be a heavy track in the Alice. Might be a bit rocky.
But look, I think they're still very much in the frame, as is Collingwood. I think Collingwood's right amongst it. I didn't really drop off Collingwood, but they needed to. I would have been... Even a competitive loss for me, like a couple of goals, I would have thought Collingwood's still on track. So that was a really good win. And it's a sort of win that you look back in your season, if you do happen to win the premiership, and think that was what set us in motion. That win.
I reckon it was line in the sand for the Pies. They knew they had to show something. They probably were thinking, let's show something, we might be able to win.
Because halftime it looked as though it was going to peter out into a 4 or 5 goal West Coast win, and that was it.
And they just dragged him into the trenches.
They dragged him into the trenches, and good on them. Yep. And I think it's good for the comp to have Collingwood playing good footy at the right time of year. So.
I get the feeling that that's going to be the qualifying final matchup. Mm-hmm. Either here or at the MCG, I think West Coast will play Collingwood.
They've got every game at the G. Is it Collingwood's got every game at the G from now on? Richmond, sorry. Yeah, Richmond's got every single game at the MCG to the end of the season.
They'll eventually, at some point next year, they'll play a game at Marvel, and they'll need a street directory to get there.
Well, they don't play too well at Marvel, as we've discovered. But that's not a bad entry point to the finals if you keep winning every game at the G.
Now, the other thing that came out of the weekend, Benny Cunnington tried to dong another bloke.
Got away with it because he missed, but he tried. Benny, what are you doing? Do you want a holiday? I think there might be a cheap fishing trip going up off the Mackerel Islands or something. He likes his fishing, Benny. So I think
he had the fist clenched.
I think Scotty Coughlin's been on the phone to him saying, I've got the charter going at the Mackerel Islands. Come up here with me.
Dear, oh dear, oh dear. Zach Merritt was a bit dazed, and had it been a little bit more solid contact, I think he would have been sitting in the grandstand.
So Essendon, interesting. I think Woosher is safe. What I like about Woosher is mightn't be the best coach tactically in it, but from where Essendon's come from to where they are now, they've had their injury concerns. Joe Danaher really worries me, and now they've lost Hurley with an AC for the season. But they've got stability, and even though Woosher is not the most exciting of press conferences when Woosher's speaking, he stares the camera down and he gives stability to the fans and the membership. So I like that about Essendon at the moment. They're starting to – they've corrected some defensive deficiencies, and they're starting to show some consistency in their performance. And, you know, I think he's done enough to keep that job.
I think John Worsfold, with the right team of coaches around him, is a very good coach. You have to accept that he's not Mandrake the magician on match day. And so you need some tactical nous put around him. But provided you got that, he's a steady hand. He's a manager type of coach, isn't he? And you know what? Chris Fagan probably is too.
Oh, no doubt.
That's probably what Chris Fagan is as well. So are we seeing a bit of a shift in the coaching landscape because of the workload that they have, the programs they have to develop?
Yeah, you have a director of coaching role, and then you have
the team they have to run.
Yeah, I think so.
Maybe a person that brings that skill set to it is as well qualified as the guy who can, you know, move the magnets on the whiteboard on match day.
Just a couple of other results we should touch on. Adelaide v Gold Coast. So now the wheels are off at Gold Coast. They've got to that tipping point of the season where it's just been too much, and which is a real concern. But I think if you look through most competitions of professional sport, this happens in the back end of a season.
Yeah, but they have to, like, the word is Jack Martin's out of there. So that's another one.
Yeah, my point being, I think they need to seriously look at what they're doing there. Do they need priority picks? Yes. Do they need priority picks that are tradable? Yes. I think they need to get some experience in there. Someone, you know, your Isaac Smiths, for want of a bit, maybe Cornelio, you know, those types of players, they need to get some experience.
Maybe a Sam Palpepa.
Until
match day, Sam Palpepa.
Some hard bodies in there.
Yeah, big, strong bodies that will stop them from being beaten up around the ball.
And it concerns me. Look, Gold Coast is a concern, full stop. Look at the Titans at the moment in the NRL. Now, they've come out, changed their coach, come out and said, this is our last roll of the dice. It's just not a part of Australia that warms to teams.
There hasn't been a successful sporting franchise at the Gold Coast.
So AFL's not pulling out.
Yeah.
They're sticking with this. So they need to really address it. They need to get some experienced bodies inside that football team really quickly.
Yeah, no, I agree. Makes you wonder why they let Jared Lyons go.
Well, it does, and makes you why they didn't probably put their foot down to watch the floodgates open. If you put the original Gold Coast list in there, they're probably maybe 8 to 10. So they might even be playing finals. So,
well, the year that Gary Ablett hurt his shoulder, they were probably just going to miss the 8.
Yeah,
but they were.
Were they 12 wins that year? 12?
I think they won 10. Yeah. And Guy McKenna was still in charge.
Well, McKenna did a pretty good job when you look back.
Yeah.
At what he did with Gold Coast. So he can consider himself a bit stiff there.
So, Quarters, how'd you go tipping?
Terrible. I think I got 3 or 4. I haven't even looked.
I reckon I got 5 or 6. So
you've done well. It was a tough round. Yeah. I managed to get the Dogs over the line, but I worked hard for that one.
Yep.
Like I did for most of
them. Nice little moment with the Dunkley boys.
Yeah, it was a nice moment.
And so Kyle kicking his first goal in AFL with Josh on the mark.
Yeah.
Giving him an absolute gobful too, he was.
He's going all right, Josh. 39, another 39 touches, 24 of them contested.
Hey, does Alan Richardson still get a please explain from the AFL over his comments about the umps because he's been dismissed as the coach?
Oh, I reckon the AFL might turn a blind eye to that one. The club probably will. The club, I'd say, will be asked to explain that, yes.
What about Maxi Gorn's comments to Jeff Dugleys?
I'm just trying to work out what it was. It was a ruck contest where there was just nothing more than two ruckmen applying their craft.
He put his left arm out, and if you do that too blatantly.
But it wasn't blatant.
It wasn't.
I think the opponent did as well. I'm not sure if it was. Anyway, I loved his comments to the umpire.
That's
ruck craft, big boy.
Jeff Dugleys probably liked it as well. He's probably thinking, oh, big boy.
You got to love Maxi Gorn. You do. Bless him.
All right. Well, thank you very much for joining us today. We've been brought to you by Tab Touch. We'll be back again on Thursday, and we'll try and run you through the next round. We'll try and tip you a couple of winners, but we're a bit out of form in that regard at the moment. And we'll talk to you again then.
This has been the Duff and Quarters podcast, brought to you by Tab Touch.